Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. Joining us now is Sam Pizzagatti, who's a veteran Labor journalist and associate fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies. He is an editor at the online newsletter Too Much. He currently has an article out at alternet.org titled Plutocracy. If corporations and the rich paid 1960s level taxes, the debt would vanish. Welcome to Background Briefing, Sam Pizzicati.
Thank you, Ian.
And in terms of the title of your article at alternet.org, Plutocracy, if corporations and the rich paid 1960s level taxes, the debt would vanish. Frankly, a lot of people would just settle for going back to the Clinton era, but even that's too much for them.
Well, that's very true. Right now, going back to the Clinton era is regarded as the most radical possible thing that we could ever do, which of course is crazy, because a generation ago, Clinton era tax rates would have been considered incredibly friendly to the rich. And now those rates are considered the most radical thing we can do. It's just amazing the conversion in our political thinking over the past generation.
Well, we just got through talking about the president's recent speech, where he singled out the fealty that the Republicans have towards the millionaires and billionaires, and clearly they're prepared to bring the whole house down unless the millionaires and billionaires are protected and their privileges are protected. So polling indicates that the American people actually are concerned about the disparity in wealth, and they do fear that this gets to the heart of the American dream, and whether or not this country still is the meritocracy that we all believe it is, you know, the Horatio Alger meritocracy. So you're saying no, that the plutocrats have got the game sewn up, right?
Well, they certainly think they do, and lawmakers in Congress are certainly acting as if they had the game locked up. The debt crisis, the debate that we're seeing right now here in Washington, D.C., is incredibly one-sided. All the options that are on the table right now, all of them are going to rebound to the credit of the rich and powerful in the United States. Whatever happens, given the options now, rich people are not going to be paying one penny more in taxes, and that's just incredible. If I could just give you just one set of numbers. Both Harry Reid, the Democrat from Nevada in the Senate, and John Boehner, the Republican House Speaker, both of them are now talking about $1.2 trillion in cuts over the next 10 years, cuts in programs that help average Americans get by. If we taxed Americans who make $1 million or more at the rates that we taxed them back in 1961, we would raise $2.3 trillion, over almost twice as much as Harry Reid and John Boehner agree has to be cut out of the budget over the next 10 years.
So as you have written recently, Sam Pizzagatti, that our political system is failing to tax the rich because the rich have fortunes large enough to buy off the political system. And we know that the Supreme Court has, in fact, cemented that opportunity in perpetuity through its Citizens United decision, giving corporations the unlimited ability to spend money. And it's on, it's equally offered to unions, but there's no parity there. And it's led to these, because there's no transparency, it's led to all these front groups, which will be very active in the next year and a half as we get to the 2012 elections. And we saw from the 2010 elections how effective that spending was. So we have obviously reached a point in this country where the power of money is greater than the power of votes.
That's absolutely true. And again, I think it's useful to do some historical comparisons. In 2007, which is the most recent year that we have statistics for, the richest 400 Americans averaged $270 million each in income. and they only paid 16% of that in taxes. If we go back in time, if we go back to 1955, the middle of the Eisenhower years, remember Dwight Eisenhower's a Republican president, in 1955, the richest 400 in today's dollars, that is after adjusting for inflation, they only made $13.3 million each on average. So $13.3 million in for the top 400 in 1955, $170 million in 2007. And back in 1955, they paid 51.2% of that $13.3 million in federal income tax. So in other words, they paid a tax rate three times as much on an income that was 20 times smaller. So those rich back then, America's plutocrats back then, were very feeble plutocrats. After taxes, they didn't have much money left to influence the political process. Today's top 400, if you tax them at 1955 rates, they'd have $40 billion less in their pockets to spend on influencing the political system. That's an enormous, enormous difference.
So you would think, though, that the people who are being affected by this unfairness, and that's the 99% of us, or let's say 98% of us, you would think that they'd be more politically active. The statistics indicate the opposite. In 2008, when Obama was swept in and the Democrats got a huge majority, 140 million voted. Just 2 years later, half of that, 75 million voted. And that led to the election of these zealots who are now creating this economic hostage crisis. And the demoralized left in this country just seems to be so fickle, and I don't see that they're going to come back. They ought to be able to see what will happen in 2012 if more of these Tea Party people and a president like them takes over. But do you have the confidence that there is some kind of Pavlovian mechanism at work here where people will wake up when the pain becomes intense?
Well, I think what happened in the last general election is that 2 years earlier, people had voted for change, and they didn't see change. And I think there was a lot of frustration out there, and the election results reflected that frustration. But to the question, you know, will people wake up? Well, I think back to the 1920s. 1920s were a time very much like our own, with great, huge amounts of wealth concentrated at the top. At the end of the 1920s, we had a Great Depression, in the same way we've had the Great Recession. In the early years of the Great Depression, 1930, 1931, people were despairing. It was very much like today. It looked like the rich had come through the Great Depression, the stock market crash, with their colors flying. But yet, in the span of just two more years, by 1934 and 1935, the country was in revolt on all sorts of fronts, in farms and factories, and things changed very rapidly. Things can turn around really almost on a dime. So do I have confidence that the people can wake up? Yes, I do, because history has shown that turnarounds can happen very suddenly.
Well, Sam Pizzicati, I thank you for joining us. I thank you for your optimism. It's very soothing to hear in these dismal times. Again, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Sam Pizzicati, a veteran Labor journalist and associate fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies. He is the editor of the online newsletter Too Much, and he currently has an article out on alternate.org titled Plutocracy. If corporations and the rich paid 1960s level taxes, the debt would vanish.